We're going to be in Luke chapter 18 this morning, if you turn there. Luke chapter 18. And we'll be looking at verses 9 through 14. A short passage. And hopefully a short message this morning. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In this particular parable, the Lord told this parable as an illustration of prayer. And in this passage, we have two men that are praying, and both from different motives. One was praying, as we're going to see, not to God, really. And the other one was crying out to the Lord with all sincerity, as we'll see in verses 13 and 14. But I think that one of the things that we can learn in this passage is about pride, human pride. You know, there are people who think they're better than others. They're more beautiful, they're smarter, they're wealthier than others. This is human pride. But in this particular case, I think we're talking more about spiritual pride than anything else. And we have an example of two men that have two totally different outlook on God's salvation. Two totally different outlooks, I should say, on God's salvation. And we see, first of all, in verse 9, who the Lord was addressing this parable to. He said in verse 9 that unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Trusted in themselves. You know, there are a lot of people out there who trust in themselves, that they believe that they can overcome anything in life, and they have the power, the resources, the connections to keep themselves at the top of the heap. They trust themselves. But in this particular case, the Pharisee is praying, as we'll see, he is trusting in himself. And he says, and the Lord says also in verse 9, trusted in themselves that they were righteous. In other words, that this Pharisee had right standing with God because he was a Pharisee. In Proverbs 30, verse 12, it says, there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes. The Pharisee, as we use that word quite a lot sometimes, the Pharisee was self-righteous. He was righteous in himself. And he thought, in verse 9, continuing that thought, the Lord said, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. They scorned others, the Pharisee did. He thought of himself that he was elevated above others, and he looked down on the vast, unwashed, pitiful part of humanity. And the Pharisee thought he was in a pretty good position. And in verse 10, we have the two identifications of the people that were praying. Both men went up to the Jewish temple at this time to pray. And we see that they're opposites because of their life's work. You know, the Pharisee was a religious leader of the Jews. People were looked up to the Pharisees. They were respected in their community. I don't know if they were loved. Maybe some of them were, of course. But generally speaking, the people thought well of the Pharisees. On the other hand, we have this tax collector. And the tax collectors had a reputation in Israel at this time of collecting taxes either illegally or unethically. The tax collectors were hated and despised by most of the Jewish people because they routinely overcharged people on their taxes and thereby enriching themselves. You know, the Roman Empire didn't care about how much the tax collectors charged people. The Roman Empire only cared about getting their share. Kind of much like it is today, if you think about it. But if the tax collectors wanted to overcharge people on their taxes, that was fine. They were permitted to do that under their Roman law. But the Jewish people hated tax collectors because of that. Many of them were corrupt. They were greedy. And the tax collectors were looked upon by the people as someone to be despised, you see. And the Pharisees were the ones who were held up as with the greatest spirituality. The Pharisees are the ones who were, people would look upon with respect and with affection. And it's interesting to note, if you read the gospel accounts about Jesus and the Pharisees, he had a number of run-ins with the Pharisees over the course of the gospels. And the Pharisees hated the Lord Jesus, mainly because he exposed their hypocrisy to other people. They were always trying to trip up the Lord. They were always trying to put him in a corner, make him say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing, and they would have a grounds for accusation against him. They were trying to trick and deceive the Lord. But of course, you can't do that. That's impossible. People can trick and deceive us, but they can't do that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see here in verse 11, the Pharisees' prayer as such. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now that's interesting, that the Pharisee was praying more to himself than he was to God. And I think this shows that the Pharisee was not relying on God for an answer. He was relying mostly on himself. His attitude was a dependence on himself rather than a dependence on God. You know, when you and I pray to God, we're asking the Lord for something, but we depend on God to answer our prayers. The Pharisee, on the other hand, was depending upon himself. He trusted in himself. He didn't trust in God. And we see that the Pharisee gave a list of things that he's certainly glad he was not. He said, "Lord, I'm glad I'm not an extortioner. Extortioner is a robber or a thief." He said, "Lord, I'm glad I'm not unjust." In this particular case, unjust is a swindler. Swindlers try to deceive people and get money from them or material things by deceiving other people. The Pharisee also said, "You know, I'm glad I'm not an adulterer," which was a major sin. As far as the Ten Commandments were concerned, certainly. And Lord, you know, I'm glad that I'm not even this publican over here in the corner. I'm glad I'm not him. And the Pharisee prided himself with the fact that he was better than most people, that he was self-righteous. And the Pharisee really considered himself righteous before God. And he was asking or saying in his prayer that he was glad he wasn't that publican or the tax collector. And the Pharisee was bring his so-called prayer. I wouldn't exactly call it a prayer. I would call it a lecture to God. He's bringing his so-called prayer to God, and he was justifying himself in the eyes of God. The Pharisee was saying, well, you know, I'm just as righteous and just as good as these other people, these extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, and just like this good-for-nothing publican over here, I'm better than those folks. You know, I'm a Pharisee. People look up to me. They respect me. I'm a religious leader of the people. And so the Pharisee was engaging in self-justification, and he was engaging in self-righteousness. And brothers, sisters in Christ, that's a danger for us. Do you realize that? We can sound self-righteous sometimes if we're not careful. So that's something to guard against. And I think another thing entered in here with the Pharisees' prayer is pride. Human pride sometimes is wicked and is sinful. Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven, according to the prophets. And there's a lot of pride going on in the world today. The sad thing, I think, about the Pharisees is he didn't recognize his own self-righteousness. He didn't recognize the fact that he was filled with pride. He thought he was pretty good compared to most people, that he could justify himself before God. The Pharisee really believed that God was going to forgive his sin and give him eternal life based on what the Pharisee was doing. You see. And he says in verse 12, he said, you know, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The Pharisee was bringing his good works before the Lord and believing that his righteous deeds gave him right standing with God. You know, people out there, they think they got to do something to merit God's forgiveness. They'll take their the good works, their good deeds, they'll take their good moral character, they'll take their wealth, they'll load all that stuff into an 18-wheeler truck, they'll back that truck up in front of the Lord and dump it all out. Lord, look at this. Look at those good deeds and good works I've done. Look at the moral character that I've engaged in all my life. Look at the wealth and all the money that I've given to the church. Lord, surely you're going to accept that. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to take a gasoline can and spread it all over with all that stuff, strike a match, and burn it up. The prophet Isaiah said that all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. The best deed, the best good work that any non-Christian can do, the most courageous, the most wonderful, the most pleasing work to all people, to other people, that a person can do, the best that a person can do, a non-Christian can do, God considers that as filthy rags. Now, I'm not talking about the deed itself. Doing good to other people is a good thing. What I'm talking about is using these good works and deeds, moral character, and your wealth in order to merit God's favor. God will not accept that. You see. And this is essentially what the Pharisee was doing. He was offering his moral character to the Lord. He was offering up the good things that he did, fasting and tithing. And those two things, fasting and tithing, are not bad in themselves, but the Pharisee was offering these things up to God in the hopes that God would accept all these things and forgive his sin and give him right standing to make him justified in the eyes of God. God will not do that. He will not accept that. So the Pharisee was, his prayer was a self-righteous prayer. And it's sad in a way because here's a man with so much pride. Here's a man who was so self-righteous, and yet he didn't see that fault, that weakness in himself. He thought that he could make himself reasonable or justified and righteous before God. And you know, there are plenty of people out there just like that Pharisee. There are plenty of people out there who would take their good works, their good deeds, their moral character, bring it to God, lay it before them. Lord, look at all this stuff that I've done. Look at all that my moral character. But God will not accept that as payment for our sin. He just won't do that. And the Lord did not accept this Pharisee's prayer, so-called prayer. He just wouldn't accept it. In contrast to the Pharisee, in verse 13, we have the publican. I didn't say Republican, I said publican. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Some of you did. The publican or the tax collector was standing afar off. You know, this tax collector was so unrighteous that he was reluctant in approaching God. He was standing afar off. And he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven as he prayed. He was so humbled and knowing that he didn't deserve a particle of God's mercy. That tax collector knew he was in bad shape as far as his standing before God. That tax collector knew that he could not measure up to God's perfect standard. For the Bible says, for all has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. That includes us, me, you. And we see that the tax collector wouldn't look up to heaven in verse 13, but smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me. But notice that word after he said that, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, the tax collector was pleading before God. He was asking God not to give him what he truly deserved. That's God's mercy. What did that tax collector deserve? Well, he deserved to be banished from God's presence. He deserved the torments of hell. He deserved to be punished for his sins. He deserved the fact that God was going to put him in a place someday of which he would never escape. The tax collector realized that. He was asking God, Lord, don't give me what I deserve. Show me your mercy because I am a sinner. You know, folks, there are people out there who would not admit that. That they're sinners before God. They've got too much pride. They've got too much self-righteousness. They think, well, you know, I'm so smart and I'm so beautiful, I'm so wealthy, that, you know, I don't need any of this stuff about God and about Jesus. I'm good all by myself. Well, see, that was the Pharisee's attitude. But, you know, that's the attitude of many in the world today. That they believe that they can take, like I said, and I'm repeating myself, I know that, they take those good works, that moral character and that wealth, and lay it before God, and God is going to accept it, but you know, as payment for their sin. And we of course, understand the Scriptures reject that God will not accept that. So what have we got left? What else are we going to depend upon? Who can we turn to during this time? This tax collector was coming to the only person who could forgive his sin. That is the Lord God. When you and I placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He was the only hope that you and I had. He's the only one who could forgive our sin. He was the only one who could give us eternal. He was the only one who could transform our lives and turn them into something good for God. We couldn't do it on our own. And folks, I'm here to tell you, you can't do it on your own. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need His power. You need His mercy. You need His forgiveness. The tax collector understood that. The tax collector asked pleaded for God's mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But something else that the tax collector exhibited in his prayer. If you would turn to, keep your place here, and turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 16. I'm going here because I think these things are important for us to understand. Psalm 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken and a contrite heart. The Amplified Bible renders that, broken down with sorrow for sin and humbly and thoroughly penitent. Broken down with sorrow and sin. This tax collector wanted to repent of his sins. He recognized the heavy burden that his sins were upon him, the wickedness that he had done, the depravity, the evil, all those horrible things that he had thought and done and said. That was the load of sin that was on him. He was going to the only one who could take that load of sin, take it off his back, and eliminate it forever. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Pharisee looked on himself, and he made his sacrifice to God, which is a broken and contrite heart. A heart that is broken and sorrowful for his sin. A heart that he knew was wicked. That he knew was not good. The tax collector knew that there was no chance for him. He knew that there was only one person he could turn to. He couldn't make himself righteous and justified by himself. He just couldn't do that. He doesn't have the power or the authority to justify himself in the eyes of God. So he had to turn to the only one who could do that, and he did it with a broken and contrite heart. When we come to Jesus Christ, that's the attitude that we must have, a broken and contrite heart. I remember the day that I got saved, that I placed my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a broken and contrite heart before God. And I'm sure you can say the same thing in your life. The tax collector recognized that he had no good works, that he had no moral character, that he had no wealth that he could bring to God and dump it in front of the Lord. He knew he couldn't do that. So he turned to the only one. He was broken down with sorrow. He was humbly and thoroughly penitent. That was the tax collector. Before God. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know, I think there's a comparison here. There's a stark comparison between the attitude of the Pharisee, the attitude of the tax collector in this prayer. And of course, the Lord told this parable as an illustration of prayer, but there's so much in this, so much more in this also. The comparison between the Pharisee and the tax collector was such that this attitude exists in the world today. There are plenty of Pharisees out there. I don't mean they're Jews, and I don't mean they're religious leaders or anything like that. But there are plenty of people who have the attitude of the Pharisees, that they're righteous in themselves. They can justify themselves. Well, I don't need Jesus. I'm a pretty good guy right now. What do I need Jesus for? The tax collector, on the other hand, knew what he needed. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector knew what he was, but he would not accept that fact. He would not accept the fact that he was a sinner, and the fact that there was had to be somebody out there that could forgive his sin. And there was. There was. Folks, there's a Savior that we have who is merciful, who is gracious, who is kind, who will forgive our sins. And He, and only Him alone, He and only He alone can justify us and make us righteous in God's eyes. The term justification is an interesting word. Some years ago, I found a definition in the WANA handbook for justification for the kids to understand. It means God declares a guilty sinner not guilty. Isn't that great? I like that. God declares a guilty sinner not guilty. But, you know, in order to for God to declare us not guilty, we must come to Him with a broken and contrite heart. We must come to God and admit to God that we are sinners. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need Your forgiveness. Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what we need. That's what the world needs. And that's what we needed in our lives. That's what I needed when I came to Christ. But the Lord Jesus says, verse 14, the results of these two prayers, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In other words, there was only one person standing between those two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector, whom God would justify, whom God would declare not guilty of your sin, whom God would forgive. There's only one person whom God would give eternal life to, and that was the tax collector. And why was that? Because he was willing to humble himself. He was willing to come to God with a broken and contrite heart. And the Pharisee, on the other hand, his problem was that he exalted himself before God. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like these other people, unjust, extortioners, adulterers. I'm certainly glad I'm not that like that good-for-nothing tax collector over here. That was his attitude. Would God justify that man? No. No. Why wouldn't He justify him? Because the Pharisee did not have a broken, a contrite heart. The Pharisee would never admit to God that he was a sinner. The Pharisee would not bow his knee. He would not humble himself. He would not come to God, and he would not say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee just didn't do that. He didn't want to do that. His attitude was, I'm okay the way I am. God is going to accept me the way I am. Well, I got news for that poor Pharisee. That's not going to happen. And in the world today, there are people who will tell you, I don't care, God is going to have to accept me the way I am. No, God is not going to accept you the way you are. God is not going to accept your sin and your wickedness. There's only one place and only one person that the world and you and me can turn to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin bearer, the one who went to the cross for us, the one who paid the payment for our sins, the one who can show us mercy, the one who can be gracious to us, the one who can give us eternal life and forgiveness of sin. He's the only one. We can't rely on our intelligence. We can't rely on our beauty. We can't rely on our wealth. There's only one person we can rely on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's it. That's it. And Jesus said, the Lord said in verse 14, that everyone exalteth himself. And that was the Pharisee. He was exalting himself. Someday that Pharisee was going to be brought, he was going to be humbled before God. There are people, I remember years ago talking to a friend of mine who was a believer, a Christian. He was told one time about humbling himself before God, that, you know, you would have to bow the knee before God. And he said, I'll never bow my knee to God. That was his attitude. But he did. To his credit, he did bow his knee and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, that is what we have to do. That is what the world has got to do. That is what people have got to do. They have got to humble themselves, come to the Lord with a broken and contrite heart and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what people need to do. And I know that that you've probably already made that decision. I hope you have. You know, I hope you've made that decision to humble yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him and trust Him and take Him as your Savior. He's waiting for you right now with open arms. He will forgive you. He will be gracious to you. He will be merciful to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And let's pray for the ones that we know and pray for the ones that we're acquainted with. And let's pray that the Lord will work in their lives and bring them to Christ. Our Father, we thank you so much for the instructions in your word. And we thank you, Father, that salvation, that wonderful free gift of salvation is just like that. Lord, it's free. All we have to do is believe. And my prayer and our prayer this morning, Heavenly Father, is that if there's one here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, we plead with you that you will show these people that they must humble themselves and have come to you with a broken and contrite heart. We pray for these things, Heavenly Father. We pray for the believers here this morning that as we go out and as we show the world that we're believers in Christ, that they will see that and be drawn to you. Not drawn to us, Lord, but drawn to you. We pray these things in the name and for the sake of our wonderful, loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.